The following is paid commercial programming. Third-party rankings are no guarantee of future investment success. Working with a highly rated advisor does not ensure that a client or prospective client will experience a high level of performance. Investment performance is not an explicit criterion because clients' investment goals differ. These ratings should not be construed as an endorsement of the advisor by any client. Generally, rankings are based on information prepared and submitted by the advisor. Statements saying that we told our clients to be out of the market in 2008 refer to recommendations made by MMWKM's principals while employed at Eagle Strategies LLC. The team that manages accounts at MMWKM are the same individuals with that responsibility at Eagle Strategies and at Cambridge Research from 2009 to 2011. MMWKM was created in 2011 and uses the same exit strategy. A more thorough disclosure of the criteria used in making these rankings is available by contacting MMWKM Advisors LLC.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Money Matters. And here's your host, Ken Moray.
We're in the money. We're in the money. We've got a lot of what it takes to get along. We're in the money.
We are in the money. The skies are sunny.
Old man depression, you are through. You've done us wrong.
And old man recession, you are through. You have done us wrong. Well, hello, 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 everybody, and welcome back to Money Matters with Ken Morafe. And, of course, I am your host, Ken Morafe. And this is the show where we talk about everything and anything in the world of personal finances. We talk about investment strategies, tax planning, estate planning, social security, you name it, we talk about it, and we try to have more fun than a human being should be allowed to have when talking about all of this boring financial stuff. And this week's going to be no exception because we have an absolutely fantastic show lined up for you. But before we go one step further, let me introduce myself. I am Ken Morafe, the host of Money Matters with Ken Morafe. Thank you, Jack. I've been in the financial services business now for 29 years, and I've been a certified financial planner for the last 19 marvelous, wonderful, and very exciting years.
Ah, I feel good.
Yes, I do. And all of the ideas that we talk about on this show, these are the very same ideas that we talk about with our beloved and most valued clients. And recently, Barron's named moi, your faithful host, one of the top 100 financial advisors in the United States, actually for the sixth year in a row. And without our beloved clients, we would be nowhere. So thank you guys so much. I hope you're having a fantastic weekend. We have so much to talk about on this, our weekly excursion into the land of personal finances. So let me start off with, first of all, we're going to talk about five reasons why we think, I think that we're going to see the Dow at 26,500 this year. Okay. Now, as you guys know, last year we said that the Dow would hit 25,000 early this year, and boom, on the fourth day. That's early, I guess. But now we're looking into the future, and we're going to talk where we think the Dow is going to go, the stock market, and therefore what you should do about it. So we're going to have that. Now, also, we're going to talk about how much should you have in an emergency fund. Okay, and this is a question, and you know, in our firm, we work with people that are over 50, who are retired, who are retiring soon, and we have two goals for them. The first one is we want our clients to have financial peace of mind. We don't want them to worry about all of this financial stuff. We want to do all the worrying for them. And then secondly, we want their money to last as long as they do. Okay, we always say we're not here to make you rich quick. We're here to keep you from becoming poor.
There's no doubt about it.
There's no doubt about it. And so therefore, one of the things that you need to have is you need to have some cash, some liquid money available to cover unusual, non-recurring types of expenses that could come up. And so we're going to talk about how much should you have if you're working, how much should you have if you are retired, etc. Now, also this week, speaking of something that we talk about with clients just about every time we visit with them, we're going to talk about Social Security this week in our third segment. And this week, we're going to follow up from last week. Last week, we talked about widow benefits and how do you collect on your spouse. Or rather, we talked about how you collect on your spouse if they're living. Well, now we're going to talk about how you would collect as a widow. And we're going to have a quiz, and we're going to put our producer extraordinaire, Jack, over here to the test. Although you've been doing well lately, the last few tests, I think you've passed pretty well there, Jack, except for that one when I got you. Anyway, so we'll have that. Now, also, as I mentioned, we work with people that are over the age of 50, who are retired, who are retiring soon. And so in our view, the most important thing you have to do is you have to protect your principal, because your principal, the money, your nest egg, the money that you've accumulated, that is what's going to generate for you the income that you need to live on. And if the value of that nest egg, that if the value of the investments you have drop dramatically, then the amount of income that they're producing is becomes such a large, for you to continue getting the income that you need from those investments, it becomes a very large percentage that you're drawing out. And if that happens, if you're drawing too much out to keep up with your cost of living, you're going to drain the tub. And we don't want that. So therefore, we believe you should buy, you should hold for sure, but you should also sell. And that's why we told our clients to sell in November of 2007. And we said to stay out for all of the market crash of 2008, that entire year. And in fact, we said to buy in June of 2009. Okay, so you must have a buy strategy, a hold, a buy. You have to know when to buy also, but you have to have a hold strategy and a sell, all three. Now, buy hold myth number six says you haven't lost any money unless you, fill in the blank for me, ladies and gentlemen, sell, right? The investment community has convinced us that if you sell, you lose money. Well, I actually believe that if you haven't made any money unless you sell. And we're going to talk about that later on in the show. Now, Jack, you know, most shows would actually stop right there. I mean, most shows would say, you know, if we've done all of that, we have done more than our listening audience could possibly want from a financial show.
Somebody stop me!
Don't you dare stop me. On this show, we don't just stop right there. We boldly go where no financial show has gone before. And therefore, at about 10 till, we're going to have our estate tip of the week. Now, this week, we're going to be talking about the personal residence trust. Okay? Because for most of you listening to this show, the biggest asset that you have is probably your home. And you may want to pass that big asset of yours to your greedy, unwashed, undeserving heirs. And you want to do so in the least taxed, most cost-efficient way. And there is a trust that is specifically designed to pass your home on, and it's called a personal residence trust. And we'll talk about that one at about 10 till. So we have a fantastic show lined up for you, and I'm sure you will stay tuned for the entire program. I just got to give you guys a quick update. As you know, I mentioned last week that I was headed to New York to spend some time with my oldest daughter. I didn't know the dads were involved in the choosing of the wedding dress, but I was, and it was actually kind of fun. I did keep my opinion to myself. I just basically nodded my head in approval, regardless of which dress she wore. I know better than to offer my opinion. But nevertheless, I have big news. We have a dress. Okay? She chose the dress, and it's beautiful. She looks very... I'll tell you, it's very interesting because the whole family knew it was the dress. You know why? We all started crying at the same time. It's like when we saw her, it's like we all started crying. It was very emotional. But anyway, so she'll be married next September. So got 9 months approximately to go. Anyway, let's talk about three reasons why we see the Dow getting to 26,500. I'm sorry, five reasons why. Yes, actually, Jack is correcting me. So first of all, we have very low inflation. Okay, one of the things that technology is doing is it's making the price of things stay down. Amazon, they know who their biggest competitor is. It's Walmart. And so if Amazon starts raising prices, then Walmart will eat their lunch. So they are basically competing on a price level as well as a convenience level. And so many people are buying things on Amazon now that it's actually keeping the prices down. So inflation is staying low. And when you have low inflation, that's a healthy environment for the economy. Now, also, we have low wages. And I think the same thing is happening there. Wages are not increasing, even though, you know, the unemployment rate is supposed to be, at historic lows at 4% and all of that. We don't see wages going up. And I think the same reason for that, technology is making things so efficient that wages are staying low. And again, if wages are low, companies then have higher profits. If they have higher profits, then most likely their stock price will go up. And if their stock price goes up, then we all benefit if we are invested. Then the third thing is that the Federal Reserve is even though they may raise interest rates three more times this year, even if they do, a 0.75% rise this year is still low interest rates when all the dust settles. So we still have very, very cheap money. And again, corporations love cheap money, okay, because it means that they can still have higher profits than they would have if they had expensive money. In addition, the consumer right now, according to Bloomberg, is sitting at 16-year highs in terms of confidence. Consumers feel very confident right now. Consumers are 70% of our economy. If they're buying stuff, that usually is a good thing for the economy as well. And then manufacturing is at a 14-year high. And that's according to the Manufacturing Institute. So manufacturers are making stuff, and they don't make stuff if they don't see the future as being bright, because it costs a lot of money and equipment and all that stuff to manufacture stuff. So you take it all as a package, and things look really good. And generally speaking, the stock market goes into a bear when it anticipates a recession. And right now, based on all that I've just outlined for you, the likelihood of recession, in our view, is extremely low. So therefore, this is a time, I think, I don't know that it's going to be as good as 2017 this year, but I do think we're going to have a decent, if not a good year in the stock market, in the Dow and the S&P. So what should you do about it? Well, you should be invested, but you should be invested properly. You should be properly diversified. You should only take as much risk as is necessary to accomplish your financial goals. So yes, you should be invested, but you shouldn't go crazy with it. You know, one of the things that is usually a sign of the peak of the stock market is where people start becoming overconfident and throwing everything into the stock market. You don't want to be doing that. You want to remain disciplined. You want to be properly diversified. So how do you do that? Well, you got two ways, and both of them can be found on our website. It is moneymatters.com. MoneyMatters.net is our website. And on there, you can either sign up for one of our seminars or you can meet with one of our advisors. In both cases, it's at no charge or obligation to you. So all you do is you click on there. And at the seminar, we're going to talk about how to diversify your money. We're going to talk about how to calculate if you have enough money to retire on. Okay, so that we call that your magic number. We're going to talk about how do you get income during your retirement. You know, where do you get it from, and how much should you draw? How much should you live on from your money? You need to know that so you don't overspend. We'll talk about when should you take your Social Security benefits, when you're 62, when you're 66, when you're 70. What if you're married? What if one of you makes more money than the other? All those kind of considerations we'll be discussing at the seminar. We'll talk about how to reduce your income taxes while you're retired. We have tons of great info, and you can do that either by talking with one of our advisors or going to a seminar, and you can do both of those at moneymatters.net. Moneymatters.net is our website, and we got tons of stuff on there, podcasts, videos, articles, information to help you to achieve your financial goals. So, moneymatters.net. Well, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about how much should you have in an emergency fund. So stay tuned. This is Money Matters, and I am Ken Moray. This is Money Matters with Ken Moray, and of course, I am your host, Ken Moray. Thank you, Jack, and I've been in the financial services business now for 29 years, and I've been a certified financial planner for the last 19 marvelous, wonderful, and very exciting years, and all of the ideas that we talk about on this show, these are the same ideas that we talk about with our beloved and most valued clients, and you know, as of the end of last month, we now work with over 7,800 families in 43 states.
I love it!
And we love every second of it, and we love every one of our clients. And ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. Recently, Forbes named our financial advisory firm, Money Matters, one of the top 100 financial advisory firms in the United States. And we specialize in working with people that are over 50, who are retired or retiring soon. And if that is you, then this show is designed for you, and everything that we do is also that way. So you can go to our website and learn a ton more of stuff, and it's at moneymatters.net is our website. Now, one of the things that we want to make sure that our clients have it's the first thing, right? Before we do anything else, we want to make sure that we have a strong foundation under our financial plan. So the first thing we want to look at is, do you have enough money in an emergency fund to be able to cover unusual, non-recurring types of expenses that could come up? You know, there are a lot of people that have no idea what that sound effect is, Jack.
What, with Bitcoin? I haven't done any transaction with Bitcoin, but I suspect it's pretty silent. You know, there's none of that stuff going on. But anyway, so how much should you have in an emergency fund is a very important question. And, you know, there have been times in the past where we visited with a prospective client and we told them that, you know what, you don't have enough in your emergency fund. And until you have that, we can't even work with you. Okay, you got to get that set first before you start thinking about investing and doing other things. You got to have that done first. So, how much should you have in an emergency fund? Well, the answer to that question depends on where you are in the working wage continuum. Okay, so what I mean by that is that if you are working and you have wages that are covering, or if you have sources of income, should I say, that are covering your expenses. So if you have a pension and Social Security and real estate income or whatever it may be, if you have a steady source of income that is not your investments, then, and it covers your cost of living, then you should have 3 to 6 months of your cost of living in cash. Okay, so if your cost of living is $4,000 a month, you should have $12,000 to $24,000 in cash in a bank account, making zero, I know, but just be patient, interest rates are going up. But anyway, yes, in the bank, making nothing. And you might just call that, I guess, the cost of insurance, all right? The money you're not making is the premium you're paying for the insurance of having the emergency fund. Now, let's say that now you are not that person, you are retired. And you are living on your investments, so you have income from your investments and maybe Social Security. And so if that's a situation, then you should have 1 to 2 years of your cost of living in cash, okay? And so, yes. So again, if your cost of living is $4,000 a month, you're talking $48,000, maybe $96,000 in cash, making zero. I know. That's what clients look at me like. You know, they say, what? You want me to put that money in the bank and make zero? And I'm like, yes, I do. And the reason why is because you don't know what the market, what your investments are going to be doing at the time that you need that money. You know, you have some big expensive thing happen and you need $10,000 and you have to now sell at the time when your investments are doing badly or that are unavailable or whatever the situation is, then all of a sudden you've got surrender penalties, you may sell at a loss, you may create taxes for yourself at the wrong time, all kinds of things could happen. And that's why you need to have liquidity. You need to have some money set aside to cover these unusual non-recurring types of expenses. Now, once you have met the emergency fund, then you can start thinking about investing and investments and all those other things as well. Okay, so you need to make sure you have that. Now, 1 to 2 years in some cases is a little bit, you know, we tend to be overly conservative with our clients. And we have clients that say, you know what, 2 years is a lot. I don't want to keep, you know, $100,000 sitting in cash in the bank. So we negotiate with them. So we go back and forth and we come to a happy medium where we feel comfortable they have enough to cover stuff that could come up and they feel comfortable that, you know, they have enough of their money invested that it's not sitting there making nothing. So sometimes, you know, it's a negotiation. These are not cast in stone, hard and fast, but they do give you some guideline and the thinking behind why an emergency fund is so important. Now, one of the things right now that you know, people ask, well, where should I put my emergency fund? Well, you know, I mean, there aren't a lot of choices that pay anything. You don't want to put it in anything that locks it in. So, for example, if you said, well, I'm going to put my emergency fund in a 5-year CD, you know, at the bank, well, that doesn't work because now your money's locked up. You need it. You're going to pay a penalty. So, again, it has to be very liquid, and therefore, it's probably not going to pay you very much, pardon me, to have that. But like I said, it's the cost of having liquidity. And that'll change, I hope, as the Fed raises interest rates. Now, if you'd like to talk to one of our financial advisors about your personal financial plan, we have them available for you. Let me make you an offer. If you go to our website, it is moneymatters.net. Moneymatters.net is our website. And you'll see a link there that says Meet with an Advisor. Now, if you click on that and you put your info in there, we'll call you to schedule a time to visit. Now, what we want to do is we want to sit down with you and design your entire financial plan. We want to look at how you're invested. We want to look at your income taxes, and maybe we can help you with that. We want to look at your estate planning. You know, we talk all the time with clients about how to pass on to your greedy, unwashed, undeserving heirs here's the fruits of your labor. We want to help you to do that properly. We want to make sure that your 401ks are properly diversified. You have a game plan in place for where you're going to get income from when you retire or if you're already retired. All of those kind of things we want to talk with you about, work through with you, and design a plan that works for you. Now, if we can help you, that is fantastic. If we cannot help you, that is fine too, okay? Either way, there is no charge, there's no obligation, and we will part friends.
I think this is the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
And you know what? Bogey is right. It is absolutely the beginning of a beautiful friendship. And we like making friends, and we look forward to meeting you. Now, also, if you would like to not go directly to an advisor, but you want to come and learn at a seminar, we have seminars near you. If you go to our website, again, it's moneymatters.net. You can find seminars near you. At the seminars, we have our now world-famous oatmeal raisin and chocolate chunk cookies waiting for you. And let me tell you something. The oatmeal raisin, we make those with the plump, juicy, yellow raisins. We put cinnamon in the batter. They're 1 inch thick, 6 inches in diameter. These cookies are a meal in and of themselves. I'm telling you, I dare you to eat more than one of them. In fact, go for it. See that lady right there? That was a seminar attendee just after she had her first cookie bite. That could be you. But maybe you'll learn about your finances at the same time. Who knows? Anyway, so all of the above at moneymatters.net. Moneymatters.net. All right, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about Social Security and benefits and a quiz for our producer extraordinaire, Jack, over here. So stay tuned. This is Money Matters, and I am Ken Morafe. This is Money Matters with Ken Morafe, and of course, I am your host, Ken Morafe. Yes, indeed. And ladies and gentlemen, on this show, we like our bonds shaken and not stirred. And you know, all those other financial shows, they stir their bonds. Can you imagine what Sean Connery would say? He would not be happy. Anyway, we are back. This is Money Matters with Ken Morafe. And I am your host, Ken Morafe. I've been in the financial services business now for 29 years. I can't even believe how fast time flies when you're having fun. And I've been a certified financial planner for the last 19 marvelous, wonderful, and very exciting years. And all of the ideas that we talk about on this show, these are the same ideas we talk about with our beloved and most valued clients. And Financial Times recently named our financial advisory firm, Money Matters, one of the top 300 financial advisory firms in the United States.
Wow!
Wow is right. It is an honor and a privilege. And you know, one of the things that we talk about with our clients almost every time we meet with them is Social Security. And so last week we talked about Social Security for spouses. This week we're going to talk about Social Security for widows and widowers. But this week, since it's kind of a sad topic, we're going to try to have a little bit of fun with it. And so what we're going to do is we are going to quiz my producer extraordinaire, Jack, over here, and see if he can answer these questions. And then, ladies and gentlemen, you can play along and see if you can answer them, and we'll see how we do with this quiz. Okay, so question number one. Suzanne poisoned her husband, Tom, over several months. Now, after the bottles of the poison that caused Tom's death are found under Suzanne's mattress, she is handcuffed, jailed, tried, convicted, and sent to prison. Now, Suzanne is in jail, but she has expenses, so she needs her Social Security benefits to cover her prison expenses. Will she receive widow benefits while behind bars? No? Yes? That's a yes or no question. No? No, exactly right. Yeah, you can't like murder your husband and collect Social Security. Okay, what about when she gets released after she served her term? Does she now collect Social Security benefits? Nope, she doesn't. The answer is no. All right, murder kind of stays with you forever. All right, question number two. At the time of Sid's death, Alicia was receiving benefits of $1,750 from her own work record. So this was her own Social Security. Now, and she began collecting Social Security when she was 62. Now, Sid, her husband, was receiving $3,200 when he passed away. Alicia is now 66. How much will Alicia receive as a widow? Okay, so she's getting $1,750 based on her own, but what happened was he died with $3,200. So which one does she get? She gets $3,200. That's right. The spouse can receive their own Social Security or the decedent's, whichever is the higher. So in this case, $3,200 was the higher. All right, Cynthia is a widow, and she receives $2,250 in benefits as a surviving spouse. So she's already collecting. And she remarries at the age of 68 to a nice gentleman that she met. Will Cynthia's widow benefits continue after her remarriage? The answer is no. That's correct. Now, what if Cynthia was not collecting survivor benefits when she remarried? Can she still collect widow benefits? And the answer is yes. Okay? So some questions for you to know there. So widow benefits, Social Security, not a fun topic, but we tried to make it at least partially entertaining.
I'm glad we had this talk.
I am too, Tom. Anyway, let's talk about something here that I think is very important, and that is that, you know, that Social Security, making decision as to how and when to collect Social Security is one of the most important financial decisions I think you're going to make, right? Because if you do it incorrectly, then potentially you could leave tens, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars on the table over the course of your lifetime. Yeah, tell me about it. It is a bad deal. So here's what I want you to do. A couple things. You all start with going to our website. It is moneymatters.net. Moneymatters.net is our website. And you can either come to one of our seminars or you can click on Meet with an Advisor, in which case then you can meet with an advisor. Funny how that title works. So what we want to do is sit down with you and help you to make those decisions. But not just Social Security. We want to look at your entire financial plan. Your entire financial life. We want to help you. You know, one of the things we say is we're not here to make you rich quick. We're here to keep you from becoming poor. Okay? So we want to look at all your sources of income, your expenses, your investments, Social Security, pensions, all that kind of stuff. And we want to help you to devise a financial plan that gives you the peace of mind and that helps you to have your money last as long as you do. Okay, so moneymatters.net is where you go, and you can either go to a seminar, and you'll see that there's links there for that, or you can visit with an advisor. Either way, we'd love to help you. If we can, fantastic, and if we can't, we're going to tell you that too. Okay, so either way, there's no charge, there's no obligation, and we will part friends. So moneymatters.net is our website. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about our buy-hold myth. Okay, so all those people who believe in buy hold, we have a myth that they like to say, which is you haven't lost any money unless you will fill in the blank when we come back. This is Money Matters, and I am Ken Morafe.
Every time it rains pennies from heaven. Don't you know each cloud contains pennies from heaven?
Pennies from heaven. And you know what? On this show, this is, well, first of all, let me just say, this is Money Matters with Ken Morafe. And of course, I am your host, Ken Morafe. Thank you, Jack. I've been in the financial services business now for 29 years, and I've been a certified financial planner for the last 19 marvelous, wonderful, and very exciting years. And all of the ideas that we talk about on this show are designed to rain down upon you financial planning ideas that hopefully will help you. We have two goals for you guys listening to the show and for our clients as well. The first one is we want you to have financial peace of mind. Okay, what I mean by that is I don't want you to worry about your finances. Okay, I think of your retirement as your second childhood without parental supervision. Okay, I want you to go play, relax on the beach, go play golf, spend time with your grandchildren, go to the mountains, just relax and enjoy. And so for that, I think you need to have a financial plan that helps you to accomplish your goals. And then the second part of our goals for you is that we want your money to last as long as you do. Okay. So
I don't know how to say I thank you, except I thank you.
Well, Frankie, you are welcome. Now, that's both of those things. Okay, one, the peace of mind, and then hopefully having your money last as long as you do. Both of those require that you do some planning. Okay, if you don't have a plan, then I think you're more susceptible to not achieving those goals. So our philosophy, we work with people that are over the age of 50, who are retired, who are retiring soon. And so our philosophy is that you need to be properly diversified. All the things that we talk about on the show, make good decisions with regard to your diversification, your Social Security, all those kind of things. Okay, so we do all of that. But I also believe that you should have an overlay. You should have a strategy to protect against large losses. Because in my view, the single worst enemy you have to your financial well-being is large losses. If you experience a loss like in 2008 or Y2K or in any of the other bear markets, then if you're wise, you have to cut back on the amount that you're drawing from your investments. You have to reduce your income because the amount of money you have to generate the income just went down. Now, the buy hold thought process is, yeah, but you know what? The market's going to come back and everything's going to be fine and you don't have to worry about it. And in fact, not only that, but you haven't, in my book, Buy, Hold, and Sell, I go through what I call the buy hold myths. And buy hold myth number six is you haven't lost any money unless you fill it in for me, sell. Now, think about what that does. Think about that because I think it's so clever. You haven't lost any money unless you sell. Now, how many of you want to lose money? Let me see a show of hands. Anybody want to lose money? Okay, none of you? Therefore, none of you are ever going to sell. Am I right? Okay, thank you very much. Now, why would somebody want to tell you never to sell anything ever? Even if you're sitting there losing 20, 30, 40% of your money that's invested in the stock market, why would they be telling you to stay in the whole time? I'll let you think of that one. Now, my view is you haven't made any money unless you sell. I want to tell you a quick story. Okay, back in Y2K, this is a long time ago, I know, but I was doing it. I was at a convention. I was a speaker at this convention, and when I came off the stage, this man came up to me and he goes, "You know, Ken, this was during the tech bubble," and he said, "You know, Ken, I invested $100,000 in Qualcomm." And that $100,000 was worth $2 million. And I said, whoa, that's incredible. And he says, yeah, but it's not worth that anymore. And I said, well, what happened? He said, well, when it got to $2 million, you know, I was thinking, man, I ought to sell it. And if I sell it, you know, I'll be able to pay off my mortgage and, you know, all this stuff. And it would have been perfect. And I said, well, why didn't you do it? And he said, well, because I didn't want to sell because I didn't want to pay the taxes on it. So I kept it. Well, guess what happened to the Qualcomm stock? It went down 90% during the tech bubble and the tech wreck. He eventually sold for $110,000. He finally couldn't take it anymore. And what happened? He ended up losing all that money because he didn't want to sell. Now, if he'd have sold when it was worth $2 million, he would have made that money. So the moral of that story is that as long as you are invested, your money doesn't belong to you. It belongs to the market. And the market can take it away from you the moment it decides that it wants to. So you have to always be aware of that. And until you sell it, that money doesn't belong to you. Yes, it's on your statement. And yes, you go online and you look at your accounts and it says you've got X number of dollars. But until you sell that, it's just the value of that day. And it can go up, it can go down, and it'll change almost every moment. So therefore, our philosophy is you should have a buy, hold, and sell strategy. Now remember, I said buy, which means you have to have a buy strategy. You have to know when to buy as well. You can't just have a sell strategy. You have to have a hold strategy, and you also have to have a sell. And, you know, our strategy signaled us to sell in October of 2000. And when we saw that was would have been a good time to sell, we decided to implement that as a strategy going forward. And in November of 2007, when the stock market reached the point that our strategy said to sell, we did. We told our clients to sell, and we told all of you listening to this show to sell, and those of you who get my Market Alert email to sell, and we said to stay out for all of 2008, and we didn't say to buy until June of 2009.
Fascinating,
and I believe very logical, Mr. Spock. and therefore, the people that followed our advice didn't lose all that during the market crash of 2008. And for our clients specifically who are retired or retiring soon, taking these big losses that take years to recover from is just not a good idea. We believe you need to protect yourself from that. So here's what I want you to do. Go to our website. It is moneymatters.net, moneymatters.net. And what you'll see on there is information on our strategy. You'll see information on a ton more. Also on when to take Social Security. You'll see videos on should you pay off your mortgage or not. All kinds of financial tips, articles, videos, podcasts, all that kind of stuff. While you're at the site, if you'd like, what you can do is you can click on Meet with an Advisor. And if you do that, you'll put your info in there. We'll call you to schedule a time to visit with you. If you're over 50, retired, or retiring soon, we specialize as a firm in working with people like you. So we want to help you to build your plan. And if we can help you, fantastic. And if we can't, we're going to tell you that too. Okay, so either way, there is no charge, there's no obligation, and we will part friends.
Oh, dear, that's too wonderful to be true.
Well, Dorothy, just wait. Okay, if you thought that was too wonderful to be true, let me tell you, if you go to our seminars, here's something that really is wonderful. If you want to go to one of our seminars, at the seminars, we have our now world-famous oatmeal raisin and chocolate chunk cookies waiting for you, okay? And the chocolate chunk, you'll notice I said chunk. I did not say chip, okay? For those of you who know this, chip is made with wax. They form it with paraffin. You do not want to eat paraffin, okay? It's not healthy. It's not a good thing. You wanted real chocolate that melts all over your face, gets on your clothes, gets on your notes. Your significant other is looking at you like, what are you, 5 years old? And you're like, yes, I'm eating my cookies. I love chocolate. And you're getting all your financial stuff at the same time. You need to go to the seminar for the cookies, if not for the financial stuff.
Shazam.
Anyway, moneymatters.net is our website for all of the above. Moneymatters.net. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to have our estate tip of the week. And this week, it's on the personal residence trust, how to pass your home to your greedy, unwashed, undeserving heirs. So stay tuned. This is Money Matters, and I am Ken Morafe.
Who wants to be a millionaire? Have flashy flunkies everywhere.
Did he say flashy flunkies?
Who wants the bother of a country estate?
A country estate.
Who wants to wallow in champagne?
And we are wallowing in champagne. This is Money Matters with Ken Morafe. And of course, I am your host, Ken Morafe. Thank you, Dak. I've been in the financial services business now for 29 years, and I've been a certified financial planner for the last 19 marvelous, wonderful, and very exciting years. And all of the ideas that we talk about on this show, these are the same ideas we talk about with our beloved and most valued clients. And recently, Barron's named moi, your faithful host, one of the top 100 financial advisors in the United States.
To infinity and beyond.
And you know what, Buzz? I hope so. Yes. Actually, now it's the sixth year in a row that they have done so. And without our clients, I would be nowhere. So all you clients listening right now, mwah, I love you. Thank you. And all of you who are tuning into the show, I have to warn you, this show is very addictive. Okay, I've actually heard stories of people, you know, how Howard Hughes, you know, he locked himself in a room and he didn't bathe and shower and his toenails got all long and, you know, he kind of all that. This is what happens to people that listen to this show. They crave the show so much they can't even function in between weekends. It's horrible. But, you know, there's a cure for that. You can always subscribe to our podcast and you can listen to that. You can subscribe on iTunes.
Sorry about this. I know it's a bit silly.
It's totally silly. Anyway, this is the time of the show where we talk about how to pass on to your greedy, unwashed, undeserving heirs the fruits of your labor. It's called estate planning. And for many people, the largest asset that they own is their home, their personal residence. And with real estate prices going up as dramatically as they have been of late, that's probably even more the case now than it has been in the past. So, how do you pass your home to your greedy, unwashed, undeserving heirs in the least tax, most cost-efficient way? We're going to talk about what's called a personal residence trust. But first, Jack, can you play it?
I know I'd go from rags to riches if you would only say you care. My pocket may be empty, I'd be a millionaire.
And of course, that is Tony Bennett with Rags to Riches. And you know, the estate taxes and probate and all that kind of stuff, it's actually designed to do the exact opposite. It's designed to take you from riches to rags. We do not want that to happen. So every week at this time, we have our estate tip of the week. So let's talk about the personal residence trust. So let me first of all kind of give you the financial theory behind the personal residence trust, okay? And let's not make it your home. Let's make it $1 million, okay? So $1 million, my favorite number. Now, if I said to you, I'm going to give you $1 million today, or I'm going to give you $1 million 30 years from now when I die, which one would you prefer to have? Well, obviously, you want the one now. So therefore, the one today is more valuable than the one 30 years from now. And if you take into account inflation and all the rest of that, you have to do what's called discounting. So if I were to give you $1 million, but say I'm going to write up a contract that says you're going to get it when I, you know, 30 years from now, then in today's value, that $1 million would be significantly less. Okay? So that's called discounting. Now, that theory, that financial theory, applies when it comes to the personal residence trust. So what you do is you create a trust and you put your home in it. Now your home trust owns your home. You don't own it anymore. And in the language of the trust, you say that when, you know, and you put a time frame or upon your death, this home will pass on to my greedy, unwashed, undeserving heirs.
That ought to keep the little squirts happy.
Now, I don't recommend putting squirts or greedy, unwashed, undeserving heirs in the language of your trust, okay? That's just not legalese. I don't think the lawyers would let you do that, although maybe you could. Who knows? But anyway, so if you put that, then that language in there, then what you're saying is that I give my home to you, heirs, but you won't get it until in the future. And therefore, we can discount the value of your home down, and therefore, the gift you're making when you put it into the trust, when you're changing ownership, you're gifting it to your heirs, that gift is discounted to a smaller number, and therefore, the tax you owe on that potentially could be a very small number. Now, while you are living in the home, the personal residence trust allows you to live there as long as you want. You can have all freedom that you want to do anything that you want with that home. You can paint it purple and put yellow polka dots all over it if you want.
Cool.
You can take walls down, add walls. You can do whatever you want to this home while you're living there, and you can live in it as long as you want. You're not going to get kicked out. No one has control over it other than you while you're living. So it gives you the ability to live there, but then eventually pass it on potentially at a hugely discounted value. All right. Now, this is something you do not want to do by yourself. Don't go downloading this off the internet. Make sure you hire an attorney that knows this kind of stuff. It's complicated. And if you don't do it properly, the repercussions are draconian from a tax standpoint. So make sure you talk to a professional before you do anything. In fact, anything we talk about on this show. Now, if you would like to talk to a professional, here's what I would recommend. Go to our website. It is moneymatters.net, moneymatters.net. And you'll see a link on there that says meet with an advisor. And if you click on that, you put your info in there, then you know what? We'll call you to schedule a time to visit. And we want to talk with you about your entire financial plan. All right. So we want to talk about your income when you're retired, if you have enough money to retire, how much should you spend, how to save on your income taxes, your estate planning. You know, if a personal residence trust is appropriate, we'll talk about that too. We'll talk about your 401k, your Social Security decisions, tons and tons of stuff that we want to talk with you about. And we want to do this at no charge or obligation. So if you'd like to take advantage of that, go to our website, moneymatters.net. Click on Meet with an Advisor, and if we can help you, fantastic. If we cannot, that's fine too, okay?
Oh, thank you, Master.
Well, Jeannie, you know that regardless of how it goes, we will part friends, right? So that's the way it goes. So moneymatters.net is our website. Now, you know, I've been asked by people that, you know, if you go and visit with one of our advisors, do you still get one of our world-famous oatmeal raisin and chocolate chunk cookies, or is the only way to get those to go to the seminar? Well, because of popular demand, we are now going to have our oatmeal raisin and chocolate chunk cookies at the office. So you don't have to go to a seminar. You can come in and visit with an advisor, and you can still get them. The oatmeal raisin are great, but the chocolate chunk, oh my gosh, if you're a chocoholic, they're out of this world. Wow, you know what? I cannot believe how fast this show has gone. It's over already. Well, I hope you've enjoyed it as much as I've enjoyed doing it for you. We'll see you next week. Same time, same channel. Bye-bye, everybody.
Is this the end?
Of course not. In the beginning.
Information presented should not be regarded as a complete analysis of the subjects discussed and should not be construed as an offer to buy or sell any of the securities mentioned. None of this show's content should be viewed as personalized investment advice. A professional advisor should be consulted before implementing any of the strategies presented. Different types of investments involve varying degrees of risk, and therefore can be no assurance that any specific investment or strategy will be suitable or profitable for a client's portfolio. The tax and estate planning information offered on this program is general in nature. Always consult an attorney or tax professional regarding your specific legal or tax situation. Sound effects or anecdotes should not be construed as an endorsement of Ken Morafe or MMWKM Advisors LLC. The firm only transacts business in states where it is properly registered or is excluded or exempted from registration requirements. Registration is not an endorsement of the firm by securities regulators and does not mean that the advisor has attained a particular level of skill or ability.